Blog Talk Radio. The weekend is here. Time to relax and unwind with the Saturday Social and your co-hosts, Vellante and Sabrina. Hi, this is Vellante. Welcome to the Saturday Social. Today we are talking about women and depression, and I named the show When Mama's Not Happy. And I came up with that title because I don't think that we realize how much women impact society. When women are not happy, when women are struggling with depression, it impacts the home, it impacts the workplace, it impacts education, everything. And women's mental health is such an important issue. And as the world becomes increasingly more challenging, the challenge that we face as women is even greater as well. And what I don't want this show to be is women whining or complaining, you know, the whole woe is me thing. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. I'm about empowering women, being strong, and being the best that you can be. However, I am very feminine and very soft. I don't believe in the whole man bashing thing. I think that women and men should work together to build a greater world, a greater environment, and that's the way that I approach life. I have a great deal of respect for men, and I think that's something where society as a whole, there's this whole embedded battle of the sexes that seems to be going on, where women are fighting men for this and men are fighting women for that. And if we could just seem to get it together, this whole issue of depression would not be such an issue. And women would be able to really step into their role as building a house. And I know we're in the 2000s, the millennium, right? And there's this whole thing or study about gender roles and not defining ourselves by gender roles. I do agree with that to a certain extent, but I also have a little bit of old school training, and even biblically, where, you know, it speaks of the man being the head of the house and the woman building up the house. I think that we do have specific roles in society, and when we step outside of those roles, we hurt society as a whole. Even parenting, there are specific functions of a mom, there are specific functions of a dad. Clearly, in birth alone, I don't care what kind of laws are passed, men can't give birth. And there are some things that men can do that women can't do physically. And so I think that physical difference does define roles, but it does not make either role inferior. And I think that's where the issue with depression comes in. I think a large part of the root of depression is lack of appreciation. If for some reason, so many of us look at what we're doing and we value that over what the next person is doing, and we say that we're doing more than they are, or what they're doing is not important, and that's not necessary. I think that we should give our best, do our best, and appreciate what the other person is doing as well. And I'm going to start with some facts that I did some research from the National Alliance on Mental Illness about women and depression, some statistics that you may or may not be aware of, but just to let you know just how serious it is, because it's not, you know, sometimes you get this as a woman, oh, you're just being emotional, or maybe it's that time of month, or, you know, we get all of these things where it's not really taken seriously. And then even when it gets to a point where it becomes violent or where someone gets hurt, it's kind of dismissed as, oh, she was just crazy anyway. And I think that's something that if we really took a closer look at, we'd realize that it was preventable. And so, you know, again, from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, it says the actual statistic for depression in general is 1 in 10 adults. It's 1 in 10. In women, that increases to 1 in 8. And what I found to be interesting is that in women, that statistic is pretty much consistent across all race and ethnic backgrounds, and also between married and single women. That depression stays pretty much consistent amongst those factors. And I found that to be very interesting. And the first thing I got from that is that women in general, you know, we're quick to bash men and say these men are doing this, they're doing that, and they're sexism, which is real. But then I look at women and how catty we can be and how we fight each other for whatever the reason may be. But we're all in that same boat when it comes to these depression statistics being 1 in 8. So it kind right there, it shows me that sisterhood is so important, and being able to support women and to just make sure that they're getting what they need from us. You know, sometimes as a woman in media and as an entrepreneur, I watch it even on social media. I watch it. If I'm doing something that is celebrity related, I get this huge feedback. But if I post an accomplishment, it's just a few people actually chime in and congratulate me. And I don't do it for that reason, but I notice it because it's important to have people in your corner who genuinely wish you well. And that's what sisterhood is. Fortunately, I'm blessed to be a part of a wonderful support system and have amazing sisterhood. But some women don't have that. Some women are in environments where they're consistently torn down, they're consistently embattled, and they don't have that support system. So what that does is it leaves you feeling isolated and alone. Now, some of the symptoms, and this is something that I really had to take a look at, because if you know me personally, I have this personality which is over the top. You know, that's how I'm usually described. I'm over the top. There's nobody quite like me. And I always considered myself to be depression proof. I thought that it was impossible for me to be depressed. I'm like, I love myself. I love life too much to ever be depressed. And that's kind of what I thought. And then as I started really looking at depressed, I could visibly see times when I was probably depressed and didn't even recognize. So I'm going to read off some of these symptoms. A little interest in pleasure or pleasure in doing things, feeling down, trouble falling asleep, feeling tired or having a little energy, poor appetite or overeating, feeling bad about yourself, feeling like you're a failure or you're letting your family down, trouble concentrating on things, even when you simple things like reading a paper or watching TV, moving or speaking slowly, and thoughts that you would be better off dead or of hurting yourself in some way. And for women, you can also claim some symptoms as anxiety, increase in weight and appetite, oversleeping, and just expressing anger or hostility. And so when I started looking at this, one time that I really think that I went through a depression was when I was married. I say jokingly, I was telling somebody, I said, you know, when I was married, I used to get these, oh my goodness, these headaches were just unbelievable. They were blinding, and they never went away. I would take almost half a bottle of Excedrin. I remember this like it was yesterday, because the headaches were so bad until I couldn't function. So what all the Excedrin did was numb it so that I could function, but I still had this nagging headache, and it was horrible, these headaches I had. And one day after I gotten divorced, I discovered I didn't have them anymore. They were just gone. And also, you know, I am heavy. I always have been heavy. And I'm still plus size now. But when I was married, I blew up. I was twice the size as I am now. And, you know, after I got married, after I divorced and had my daughter, at 9 months pregnant, I still was not as big as I was when I was pregnant. So looking back at that, I'm saying, wow, you were depressed because you were eating. You know, you weren't taking care of yourself. You had these physical symptoms. You were miserable. I was depressed while I was in that, and I didn't realize it. Fortunately, I had, again, I have a wonderful family and support system. And even though I didn't realize I was depressed at the time, I had people around me who pulled me out of that, and I was able to bounce back. And I consider myself to be the bounce back queen because, you know, people see me all the time, and they see me smiling, they see me up, and they see me doing things and helping people. They have no idea. I said, you know, I'm going to release a memoir entitled Behind the Smile, because if some of you knew what was going on when you saw me smiling, you would not believe, you would not know how I was able to smile. So, you know, when I look at those symptoms, and even, and I wanted to read those symptoms because there's women out there who have these symptoms and who are depressed and don't realize it. And if you're not fortunate enough to have the same kind of support system that I have, then you may not make it through your depression the way that I did. Now, I see that I have my co-host on the line. Hey, Sabrina. Hey, Sabrina.
Hi, Valente. How are you? Sorry.
I'm good. I see.
Sorry,
I saw
for
you.
Late.
I'm like, oh my God, Sabrina's on hold. You know, I'm not good at maneuvering, so I'm in a different window, and I didn't even see you online.
You are funny. No, it's like, wow. That is, wow. That is transparent. You're very transparent, Valente. That's what I love about you. And I, and those symptoms are right on the mark. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are here because, and people, in case you don't know, Sabrina is a healthcare, a mental healthcare professional. So, you know, I did do my research and said, well, I can't be saying nothing that's wrong because Sabrina's going to catch it.
Hey, you know what? You're absolutely right. It's just, I mean, I have to really admit that this last 2 years I have struggled with depression really heavily. A lot of people, and how you say behind a smile, I've seen a saying earlier this week about when you see somebody who continually smiles, it doesn't mean they don't have pain. It just means that they just know how to keep going. And
exactly.
I think that's the biggest thing for me. People don't even understand. And I'm here today to tell people that, you know what, depression is real. It doesn't, and I know people tell people when they're depressed, you know, oh, you know, if you pray more, it'll help. You know, if you be happy, you can smile, but doesn't mean that pain's going to go away. Doesn't mean that you're praying more is going to help. And I'm not saying anything against God because I truly believe God's a number one healer. But at the same time, I believe that God has put people on earth, mental health people, to help people. Because I do take a regimen of medication for depression that now that it's so well-rounded with me that I can – sometimes I have to take it and sometimes I don't. Some people can't ever get to that point, but I have been able to with exercise and with a lot of counseling. But, I mean, I will have to be honest to say probably as early as 7 months ago, I was really suicidal. I mean, really suicidal. And I was still smiling and nobody knew because that's just who I am. And I didn't want to bother people, but I've realized, you know what? Being bothering people, they're going to be really bothered if you kill yourself. They really are.
And you hit something that I want to make sure that I cover in this show about depression, especially particularly in women. You don't want to bother people. You don't want to worry people. You don't want to say no. You try to be there for everybody, okay? But how much more bothered or hurt would they be? Even with your children, I tell moms this. You know, we love our children to death, and we'll give anything to them, and we'll do anything for them. We don't want them to be upset. Well, how much more upset could they be if their mom commits suicide or if their mom has a stroke or if their mom has a heart attack, all because they were depressed? And people don't realize that depression, that stress, because we're kind of talking about both, the stress, the depression, all of those things make you physically sick. So I'm sure that our children will much rather us just say, no, you can't do this, no, mom's not going to do that, than to have to go visit their mom in a cemetery. And so you hit that, you know, when you said that. Sometimes it's so we try to be everything for everybody. And that's why I named the show When Mama's Not Happy, because when the mother or when the woman, even if you're not the mother, if you're the sister, if you're the aunt, if you're the female in your department, that energy that you have, that you send off, it controls the environment. And I think that's the power that women have that we don't realize. We don't realize how much we change the energy in a room. Even though men are supposed to be physically stronger, your energy definitely dictates their behavior. When you walk in the room, pay attention to it, because I work in a male-dominated environment. Even men I don't know, when I walk in the room, my energy changes the energy in that room. A little bit of estrogen, it truly makes a difference.
You know? You know what, Volante, you're absolutely right. And you don't realize, it's just so funny because the impact, you can see it. I can see it when I walk into a room. If I'm not in a good mood, instantly other people, they become not in a good mood. If I come in a good mood, or if I'm in a bad mood and I come in, I change it to a good mood, people, they can adjust to that. It really is. I mean, and that the one thing I have learned over this last 2 years, because a lot of people don't realize I went through a very violent physical divorce, and a physical marriage that ended in divorce, and some of that where I could not, you know, be allowed to lose weight. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I mean, I had to learn to come into my own and into finding my own personality, finding my own self, because I was caught up in somebody else's. And you know what I realized in this last year and a half is, you know what? I have to be okay with who I am. I have to learn to say no to people, because saying no is not being mean to people, as everybody would like you to like to me. Oh, you're being mean to me, or you don't care about me. I care about you because I'm saying no, because I'm trying to take care of myself. And maybe I just want to say no because it's not something for me. I think that's something that we also have to learn. When you say no, maybe that's something you need to be doing, because you need to move on to something else. And also, just saying no is a good thing, because it allows you to have your balance in your life. I have a new rule. It's called 5 a day. Whether I do 5 things that I need to do at work, or my 5 things at work, I can only do 5 things. That's it. I get those done. If I do more, that's good. I'm still a good person, even if I don't do those, but I strive for 5. At home, I have 5 things that I can do, including cooking my son's meals, including putting on my list. If one of my friends per day calls me for something, that's just, it's including that 5. That way I'm not stressing myself out and trying to be everything for everybody, because at the end of the day, when I'm really stressed out, I'm actually stressed out the whole world, because then everybody now has to come to my side, because I'm losing my mind, literally. And that's one of the things I've realized, is that, you know what, suicide, if people, you know, just like the young man that just killed himself, he was 19, part of the Who Loves Raymond. He was one. I think he was one of the twins. You know, we take suicide, we want to make jokes and take it lightly, and just, it's sometimes people don't take, some people don't make jokes, but suicide is real. It's prevalent. Some people can't get past the pain, and if you can't get past that pain, and as mothers and women, you only have one way out, and that's why it's really important for women to identify 3 women friends that they can call. Women friends, or I have one male friend, so it's 2 and 1. But 3 good friends that you can call at any time, day or night. Because if you can't identify it, there's a problem. And that's just my own personal thing.
Right, definitely. And here's the other side of depression that makes it really dangerous, is that sharks smell blood. So even for me, I can say this personally, even though I think I'm a master at masking, you know, I can always suck it up, pull myself together, look decent, and go out and smile, right? But people who have a predator-type disposition or personality, somehow they are drawn to the weakness and to the depression in you, and they will single you out. And again, being transparent, in the month following my divorce, when, you know, I'm kind of reeling, because I say this all the time, even though there was no love, you know, and I was much better off without him, divorce is something where, for me, I felt like a complete failure, because I had been married 8 years. I had not ever put that much time in anything else outside of helping my dad build the church. So I felt like, you did this for 8 years, and now you're a failure. So regardless of what I could say about him, you know, I put him down, I took that hit. And in the months following him, oh, my God, Sabrina, the people that I attracted. I could tell you some stories that you'd be like, for real, you went through that? I literally attracted the scum of the earth. Not to put those men down, but my state of mind, my depression, my lack of self-esteem, even though I looked better than ever, because I started losing weight, I started working out, I looked better than ever. And I was able to smile, but they were somehow able to pick up on the brokenness, on the weakness, and that's what I attracted one after another. So I went through this series of just, you know, predators. And so then I'm like, what's really going on? Why and how am I doing this? And that's when I had to look at myself. Okay, because I say, ladies, you have, you can sit there and say all men are dogs and they're bad, but I'm going to put this really, I'm going to put this as politely as I possibly can. Flies are attracted to what? So if you're attracting flies, dog-type people, there is something in you, about you, that's attracting them that you need to change. When you change what's going on inside of you, you attract better people. And it wasn't just the men, it was women. When I started my business, you know, I had people come, they try to partner with me, they would get over, they steal ideas, and I'm just like, God, really? What, why? And I had to look at myself, and that's that depression, that's that brokenness. And like you said, you need to have, I have what I call my core people. These are my no-doubt people that I know are real and that care. Because, you know, you're in media too. You have this. I know a ton of people. You know, when I'm flying high, when I'm doing well, my phone, my inbox is blowing up. My phone is ringing off the hook. I can't even respond to all of the requests. Those are not my friends, though, you know. So
right.
You have to know that. You have to have your core, and you have to know who you can go to. And now, I didn't recognize depression, so I didn't know enough to get professional help. But I had a healthy support of family that pulled me through that, you know, and I did. I prayed. And when you tell people to pray, here's my thing with that. God has the power to do anything, but it is limited by your faith. So there's been times when I was having severe chest pains, and instead of picking up the phone and dialing 911, I said, God, I am not about to drop dead in front of my child. I am not about to be laying in the street. And I said, God, you have to deliver me from this, and you have to do it now. And they instantly left. But would I tell somebody to do that? Absolutely not. God's power is according unto your faith. If you have, now I definitely, because there were times, I'm sorry, I'm a single parent and entrepreneur. There were times when I did not have health insurance. So it was like, okay, God, I need to be healed because I can't go to the doctor, and I'm just being very, very transparent. So faith and prayer can carry you through, but it's according to what you believe. Now, if you don't believe like that, then you need to go to the doctor. You need to find you a mental health care facility or professional. You need to go to your regular physician to get the help that you need. Whatever it requires for you, get it done, because it's crazy to lose your very life because of stress and depression, you know?
No, and you're absolutely right. And to be transparent, Valante, I'm going to tell you, I was so in my marriage, like I said, I wasn't allowed to do this or that, whatever. And so as soon as I was, you know, divorced, I ended up going on a rain. I literally call it a rain. And I really finally had to look at myself. You're absolutely right. Of who are these men I'm attracting? I think I probably went through talking to 20 guys online, and 15 of those were just sexual predators, literally wanted pictures and everything, and I didn't give any to them. I'm like, okay, that's crazy. And then the ones that I did meet, it was like, Sabrina, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And I finally realized, you know what? You are doing this because you never were allowed to have any say-so. Now you have to realize you can have say-so, but you cannot just – You're going to end up getting yourself killed over.
Right.
Just in part. And now I, as of, I think about 3 months ago, now I have, and we're going to be talking about that on my show. I really have started implementing my little 32 list thing. Some of them are just silly things or jokes, but they actually do work. And I do that because if I don't have a list and if I don't have a standard, because I didn't have a standard because I was so disenthralled with life about I had made my standard, it didn't work, I got beat down literally, physically, raped in my marriage literally almost all the time. I said, what's the point of a standard? But then I had to look at what I really wanted. And are these expectations on this too high? No. So, and that's exactly what I do. I now, this is what I look for. If they before they even know about the list, they don't even fit the qualifications. Bye. Stop it, Sabrina. Don't even put yourself through that. Because you're exactly right. Flies attract dumb. You know, we all know what it attracts. And so I was, like, attracting the craziest.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't matter the color.
It does.
I was attracting go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, you're right. It does. And that's painful. When someone has physically abused you or not even that serious, when somebody just didn't value you, it's painful to accept your role in it. You know, you've got to look at yourself and say, man, you know, I really need to fix this. That's painful. But once you do that, I can say the flip side. When I changed the way that I do things and the way that I take care of myself, even now, you know, I'm still going through it. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm seeing some things. I mean, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm seeing some signs of aging. You know, I'm still seeing things I need to change and I need to do differently if I want to get to that next level. People are only going to love you as much as you love yourself. No one is ever going to love you more than you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself enough to take care of yourself and make sure that you're healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, how do you think you're ever going to attract somebody who's going to love you?
And that's the truth. And I'll tell you one thing, I know we're getting off the air, but is that if you cannot be your own best date and you cannot be your own best friend, nobody's going to be your own best friend. And nobody's going to be your own best date. And before you can look that to anybody else, you have to be okay with being that. And what I mean by that is you have to be okay with, I'm my best friend. How would I expect to treat me? Treat yourself like that. You'll attract those friends. How do I want to be dated? Take yourself on your own dates. That's what you can expect. And that will help you be healthy. Because I'm going to tell you guys, I am literally sitting here, have to start going through a round of tests, and we're looking at part of my damage to my heart could have been things I have done because of the massive stress I put myself through. And that's a hard pill to swallow. I have to recognize that I can blame a lot of things, but part of it is due to some of the massive amount of stress that I've put on myself. And my heart could not take that. So think about that. And I know people get depressed, but I'm asking people, if you know you're depressed in your city, there's 211, and you can't stand by your faith alone to get you through, then you need to call 211 and ask for free mental health services because there's out there, and rely on your friends. Because at the end of the day, I know Volante is in prayer for me, but I'm putting my friends through some stuff that some of it could have been avoided. And so you guys need to take care of yourself and your health, because at the end of the day, women, Volante said it best, we have the biggest impact on our families and everything around us. And that impacts our whole body, too.
Wow, you said 211.
211 is in every area, in every state. 211. If you don't know, if you can, 311 is a police department. They can attach you to it, but all you got to do is just dial 211, and 211 will direct you to free mental health. If you don't have, or you don't know it, you can't remember it, please call me, 951-552-3292, and I'll direct you, and I will actually find you in your area. I'll actually put you in touch with the right person. I'll look it up for you. I mean, but if that's all you can do is look, when you listen to this, and maybe you're afraid to dial 211, maybe you think they're going to come get you, then call me, and then I will help you find somebody. But you know what? You're important to Volante. You're important to us, and as listeners, as moms, as even dads who are listening to this, and teenagers, suicide is real. Stress is real, and if you don't take care of it, it's going to take care of you one way or another.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've never heard of 211. I will share that. And again, that's information that everyone should know, and I've never heard it. So I appreciate you, Sabrina. Thank you. Take care of yourself. I'll be calling to check on you. And this is the Saturday Social. It's rainy and gloomy here. Thank you for joining us. And this is Volante, and I have Sabrina on WBDN Radio for WBDNmedia.com. Bye, Sabrina.
Bye, dear.
Okay.